8:50, The Buzz. Good morning, everybody. You are tuned to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next 2 hours, along with Spence.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Feeling good. It's nice to be inside.
You're working outside?
Oh, yeah.
Wireless?
No, I mean, I was working disconnected yesterday.
Oh.
Working outside.
Did you get a connection yet?
No.
Oh. Did you accomplish anything?
Oh, yeah.
Disconnected and you accomplished something.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was doing it low tech.
Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't say that. I was actually wearing my new
headphones.
Plextor.
Oh, I love those. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it was very good.
Yeah.
Hearing protection that's got a built-in AM/FM radio.
Yeah,
so they're out there cutting the grass, and people wonder, what is he, you know, what's wrong with him? He's acting weird.
What, no built-in MP3 player?
Actually, you can. It's got a jack.
The Oakley.
It's mono.
It is mono, but it still works.
Yeah.
Last time I drove one of the trucks, I took this thing out, and I had my MP3 player, and I listened to playbacks of radio programs as I rode in the truck. It was great.
And there's these things built into the truck, usually called radios.
You can't hear the radio. That's the problem. You take the headphones off, all you hear is engine noise.
You got to get a pair of those Oakley sunglasses
that
have the built-in AM/FM and MP3 player built right into it. Very stylish.
Interesting.
You'd be styling and profiling in your
name. In that case, when you're moving to the music, people are really think you're nuts.
Yeah. On the riding mower for that quarter-acre lawn, going around the neighborhood.
He hears one song and it's over.
And a guy in a Vita plays, he can mow his lawn twice.
And Jim Duffy's here.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning.
You let him in again.
I let him in again.
No, I broke the password. Security. I'm here virtually.
He has that talent.
It's all
to break.
It's all raw, no talent.
Yeah,
man.
Right.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here, sir. I look forward to this every Sunday.
No, it's more like instinct, like an animal finds prey in the woods or something. He just goes.
There's a microphone in there. I know there is. There's a microphone in there. I can get behind. There's a microphone in there. Break in if I have to.
Okay, Maverick.
No, you can't be Goose. Sorry.
And with us in the studio this morning, and go stay with us for the duration of the show, is Grayson Rendell. Grayson is the founder and leader of the Insight Racing Team. And we'll talk about it when we get back. Good morning, Grayson.
Good morning.
Our producer, screener, and weather person this morning is John.
Morning.
Morning. Do we have a weather report? Do you have one ready?
It's sunny outside right now.
I love it. Okay. It is sunny outside. I guess we'll come back for that. All right. Our number is 860-0850, *50 and #50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. So anyway, what else is going on?
Same old, same old. It's the middle of summer. Burning up.
You're burning?
I'm burning. I'm burning. I was outside as well, doing the lawn work yesterday.
We were talking about the the $100 PC that's under development, about how there is a PC being built now, designed for the third world, that will be $100, and it will have about 1 gig of flash memory. It will load a specialized version of Linux. It will have no storage other than the flash memory.
Mm-hmm.
It's projection based. It's not an LCD. Somehow they can get this thing down $100. and it's going to be produced and delivered not in the United States, but designed for the rest of the world. And an AMD 500 megahertz processor, not sure how much, I think 256 RAM, and no moving parts,
zero,
essentially. And we'll run off of different power supplies like solar power and other optional. It's not included in the $100, but it will have Wi-Fi built in and designed for providing connectivity for the average person.
I want to know what, like, you hear the
kind of like what cell phones did for communications. If you've ever been to a third world country where there's poor people, they put up one tower, they can serve thousands.
Right.
They don't have to wire every house. So this is the same idea now to provide connectivity.
Where did the term third world come from? What happened to the second? Who's the first? Who's the second? Who's the third?
It depends on whether it was a lottery.
It was a lottery.
Who's on first?
You lose. Who's on first?
Yeah,
who's third on base? First? That's right.
Our numbers again: 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. So, Grayson. Got it here that says, Insight Racing is a triangle-based team comprised of local NC State College students and engineers. The team is designing, now listen to this, everybody, an autonomous vehicle to compete in a 175-mile desert race sponsored by the U.S. government, the DARPA Grand Challenge.
Autonomous, that means it's not stick?
That's right, automatic.
Yeah, okay.
The team that's he will not know the difference.
We'll explain it.
The team that completes the race in the fastest time, under 10 hours, will win a $2 million prize. Insight Racing was recently accepted as a semi-finalist. Now, I remember seeing something on, I think it was History Channel, or I can't remember where, about this, and this is something that really the military is looking to use, is a driverless.
That's correct. The military is looking to create transport vehicles where they can load up the military vehicles and send them off to a destination without a driver. This will hopefully help protect a lot of our servicemen overseas and allow us to move supplies and stuff without harm to people.
I would love to see, you know, a bunch of terrorists trying to stop a truck.
That's not going to stop.
Well, no, it probably will stop. I mean, if somebody stands in front of it. But the thing is, you know, there's nobody in here. And then they should put some kind of a recording and say, ooh.
No, the recording would say, no, 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 no.
So,
what? Think about it. You could have it deliver beer to tailgate parties.
Yeah, this would be good for me. I can see Attack of the Clones coming. And Jar Jar Binks being out there. And all these clones are coming at you. These machines that just think on their own. It's a scary thing.
Why does it have to be scary? Why does it all have to be I think it's a very positive thing.
It's a scary... I'm scared. I need a hug.
Let's forget about it. So, tell us more.
Well, the DARPA Grand Challenge... they established this race in 2003, and they allow basically they were working with a lot of military contractors, and they were rather displeased with the progress they were making in that area. It's been very difficult to get vehicles that can actually traverse land that is not a roadway or a well-marked thoroughfare. So they put this race together. They invited companies, people, universities to work on solving this problem. So we put together a team to help compete in this contest.
And this is all computerized stuff, obviously. I mean, other than the mechanics.
Well, there's certainly some mechanical issues that we have to resolve, and a lot of different teams have a lot of different approaches, which is what the DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, is looking for. They're essentially the research and development group for the military, mm-hmm. and they're looking to find alternatives and different approaches to solving this problem.
So is the intention to use an existing vehicle or to come up with a whole new design, something that's going to be all-terrain designed for? I mean, today's all-terrain vehicles obviously require a lot of this judgment is involved in deciding whether you can actually get through a space or whatever. Is this going to be something brand new, completely new, or using existing technology? Or
There's a wide variety of solutions being looked at by all the teams. There's everything from a 16-ton military vehicle down to a motorcycle. I would say probably most of the teams are looking at pre-existing technology and automating the capabilities of that equipment. Carnegie Mellon, who's very well known for their work in this field, is using a military Hummer as a base. We're using
Humvee. Hummer is a civilian.
Well, they have both. they have a Humvee and a Hummer. Mm. We're currently using a Chevy Suburban as a platform for our vehicle.
Which 16-ton is being used?
I'm not sure exactly what it is. It's a big vehicle used to power airstrips out in the in the fields. So.
All right, and we need to take a break, but we'll take your calls and keep talking with Grayson here right after this. Welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our numbers, 860-0850, *850 and #850 on your cell phone. And I think John is ready with his weather report this morning.
The weather is brought to you by Ice Cold Corona and Corona Light, the perfect choice when you're looking for fun or just ready to relax. Pick up Corona or Corona Light wherever you buy beer. Weather today, mostly cloudy this morning, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Humid with lows in the mid-70s. And tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Hot, humid with highs in the mid-90s. Chance of rain, 30%. Currently in the Triangle, 78 degrees and partly cloudy.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
And again, our number is 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. Did you solve your problem?
No, I don't know why I can't get it to the web.
That's speed limit.
Yes, 350, yeah, NHRA.
We're talking with Grayson Randall of Insight Racing. So what led you to even enter in this? I mean, where's the interest? Where did the interest come from? Who is into that kind of stuff?
I can jump in and answer the question. $2 million?
No, I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
Actually, no. I don't think it is.
I'd have been all over that too. Right?
No, I don't think.
Can
so.
I be an associate member of the team? I get a cut. You know, that's all I'm looking for. Maybe $10,000 is all I'm looking for.
So, yeah. What led you to that?
The challenge. I've always done a lot of robotics and been very interested in the robotics field, and then when I heard about this contest, I said, you know, that's a solvable problem. You know, we should be able to figure that out. And I have a lot of contacts and a lot of friends that are very skilled in the area. So we were able to put together a team that we thought would be competitive. And we were selected as part of the first race in 2004. And we're currently semifinalists in the second race that will be done in October of this year.
There was no winner in the 2004, right?
No, the 2004 race was a 142-mile course, and the furthest anybody got was 7 miles.
Wow.
What kind of pit times are you getting out of your crew? 11, 12 seconds? What kind of time are you getting?
Yeah, we just got to get them out the door.
You know? And which beer company sponsors you?
You got to have a sponsorship.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sponsorship is a big issue for us, actually. It's a very expensive project to be developing a vehicle of this size and with this complexity. And we're always looking for new sponsors to help us.
So you're still looking for sponsors?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I'd say a vehicle that runs on autopilot like that, Viagra, would be perfect sponsor for that type of thing, autopilot.
Who do people that want to sponsor or to donate or whatever, how should they get in touch with you?
Anyone that's interested in more information or in sponsoring the team is welcome to contact us through our website. Website is www.insightracing.org.
Insight.
On the website, we have links where you can send us messages.
So www.insightracing.org. Remember, it's .org. At this time, let's go talk with David. David, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
I called last week with a disc imaging question, and I had a update and a new quandary I was hoping you could help me with. But basically, I don't know if you recall, but I was cloning a couple of discs so I could put them away in the closet, and if something bad ever happened, I wouldn't have to start from scratch. I would have an up-and-running operating system.
Right.
And I went on one system. I wound up getting everything working, and the clone was fine. What it required was editing mount device in the registry, because apparently hard disks are hard-coded so that it knew it was the wrong device and they didn't want me pirating software. So you just switch the drive letter in mount device, and everything was good to go on the clone. I tried the same process on the second computer, and it doesn't see the drive at all. So to check it, I plugged it up to a working machine, and it doesn't like the partition table and partition magic. So the CRC and the system and the LBA don't match.
Mm.
So how is my editing the registry and switching the drive letters, and then you clone, and it works just fine, and then the same process doesn't work on another computer, and I'm running out of ideas again.
Let me ask you something. Why are you using partition magic?
I didn't know what was wrong with the disk, so I hooked it up into... When it didn't boot, I started troubleshooting, and as part of troubleshooting, I plugged it in as a second disk in a working machine and went to look at the disk, and it came up and it said things don't match. So I suspected that as an error.
I don't know. You're doing something highly irregular. So I never came across anything like this.
I want to clone the drive and be able to bounce it across three machines.
So there are so many variables that come into play here. Man, I'd like for you to tell us why it didn't work. It told you that it doesn't like the connection between the CRC of the partition itself?
Yeah, is sector 63, is that your boot area?
Up to
the, it says I have two twin 40 gig drives.
Right.
For the one for each machine, and those are the model drives, and I got everything how I want it. Then I'm pushing that out onto two bigger drives. One works great, no problem after sort of fooling it with the drive letter in the registry. And the other one won't do anything.
Okay, let me ask you this. If one works great, why can't you just take it and clone it?
Well, then I run into the issues I was having last week with the slight differences in the motherboard drivers.
Oh, okay, so you're doing this from two different machines.
Yes. And I have two licenses and everything.
Right, fine. No, I understand. But so one machine is cloning it, and if you update the registry and edit it, everything works the way that you want it to work. It does what you want it to do.
Exactly.
But the other machine does not.
It complains about the partition table.
Don't know.
This will take
forever to try and figure out, and you have to sit in front of the computer.
So is the real reason why you do this is because you want to have an image to fall back to in the event of a failure. And I've done this too with my laptop, but it's because I'm backing up the same. I just have a different hard drive for the same machine. So you're trying to do it so you can back it up to a different machine.
I have four hard drives, two little ones and two big
right.
ones. And I want to take the two little ones and put them in the closet and wait for something bad to happen. And my question is, if I can't get all four of them, you know, if I can't get a pair working on a box independently, I don't have any confidence that the image will be there if
right.
I need it.
No,
I'm getting kind of limited. I don't want to try an image back to my original model disk, or I'll risk being back to zero and having to reinstall
right.
everything.
Yeah.
Well, for the purposes of backup or just having a redundant system, have you thought about something like doing PC Anywhere or an application like that where you just literally are synchronizing the machines?
Well,
two separate operating systems. I know you don't want to have the second one running.
Yeah, I don't want them open. I don't necessarily want to see the second computer from the second location.
Right.
I just want them to. I just want it to be the same when I do get there and turn it on.
Hmm. Well, I don't know why you can't get around these hardware issues. I don't get it.
I don't know, but not having done it, there's no way that
this is definitely a lab trial kind of
yeah.
thing. You got to play around with it till you get it to work.
Okay. Well, I've been cloning disks so far. If I switch to making an image file, how can I test an image file without hosing the first drive that does work?
Well, if you have it should work with an identical drive.
That's right. Even not a.
Have you tried booted NG yet? Terabyte Unlimited, the one we mentioned last week. Mike has a lot of confidence in this program, and you might not have that issue with this program.
BootNG?
BootItNG.
BootItNG.
Yeah, it's terabyteunlimited.com. And it's worth giving it a try.
Okay. Yeah, because I've tried boot config and fixed boot and all that good stuff under the repair option.
Mm-hmm.
And the second disk refuses to work. So.
Yeah, so Mike's question here was that it's not an issue if you put it back into exactly the same machine. It's only an issue when you put it into a similar machine.
No,
but it should be the same.
This is the exact
same machine. So yeah, this has got to be. Try this other software. They have a floppy version that's for free at the website. And I downloaded it. I haven't tried it yet, but I've downloaded it and have the disk waiting for me to when I have a few available moments to play with.
Okay, what was the name one more time?
It's Terabyte Unlimited. TerabyteUnlimited unlimited.com, one word, and it's BootItNG.
BootItNG. Well, thank you very much.
Give it
You're
a shot.
You're welcome. Take care, David.
It's on the autoresponder, too, if you send an email to computers2k5@77dx.com. You'll receive a email back with links and tips that we talk about on the program,
yep.
Courtesy of Mike.
That's Computers2K5@77DX.com. Our numbers again, 860-0850, star at 50 and pound at 50 on your cell phone. And these are free calls. You got something?
Oh, yeah, I got something. This story is going to relate to everybody here.
Okay.
ER, as in emergency room. Clear! We got them back. ER for hard drives. Came across a really neat story because I always wonder about these places. It starts off, this is a CNET story. He knew it was important, but backing up his hard drive was the last thing on Ryan, I can't pronounce the last name's mine. He's 35. He's too busy rearing four children and caring for his ill wife. One day after she passed away, which is unfortunate, last August, he's trying to recover some pictures from his computer to display at the funeral to have nice pictures going on. Computer wouldn't cooperate. Local repair shop told him he's out of luck. Drive was inoperable. He had no backups. 6 years of digital pictures on the drive. Hadn't backed it up in years. Obviously, he was not happy. He got in touch with the local repair shop, told him about Drive Savers. It's a place that actually one of these recovery places. And a couple other ones he told him as well. They recover from hard drives. After several days' work, Drive Savers had recovered the entire photo library. Mm-hmm. So they got them all back for him. Nice guys. Drive Savers didn't charge him a dime because of the situation that he was in. And so they kind of did it out of the kindness of their heart.
Nice.
But that doesn't mean that this stuff is cheap
by
any means.
No.
Drive savers. They receive units that look most unsalvageable, but they can actually work with the stuff. Depending on the size of the drive, the complexity of the problem, the requested turnaround time, recovery costs at drive savers can range from $500 for the slowest service, which is like 5 to 7 days, to like $9,000 mm-hmm. for a rush job. It's like, I have to have these files tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Not almost $9,000. For customers who can wait the 7 days, recovery tops out about $2,700 for a 600 gig drive. I mean, that's a pretty big drive. 1 to 2 turnaround, I mean, prices go up the faster you want it. What they do is they try to get the drive spinning with a whole bunch of parts they have. If they can't get it spinning, they do it. It's like a $200 inspection fee. They look at the drive and say, dude, this drive is mm-hmm. dead. It's going to cost you $200 at least. It just drives home the point. Back up your drive.
Yep.
They are going to fail.
Absolutely.
It's nice that places like this exist, and they are there. And from a business perspective, if you don't have a current backup and you've got something that died and you're like, oh, my God, my accounting system is on there, I need that, there are hopefully ways to get your information back. But why even tempt fate?
I have no idea.
Back up your drives. But it is neat that those places can actually recover your data.
Yeah, I mean, there are other places that do that.
Oh, sure. There's more than just this one.
I don't know that there is. I'm sure there's nobody local. I mean, a lot of local, quote unquote, yeah, we can recover your drive, exist, but
they send it
forget
off.
That. Forget it.
Yeah, they'll send it off somewhere.
This is, you know, the worst. I talked one time with, I think it was OnTrack.
Mm-hmm.
And what they will do is they will actually take the platters off of your drive and stick it in a similar drive
mm-hmm.
and do it like, so no wonder it costs a lot of money.
Oh, sure.
You know.
For those who don't know, there's a paragraph here, as hard drive capacities explodes, the consequences of catastrophic failures mushroom.
Right.
Hard drives store only, you know, photos and everything else. Here's how it works. There is a platter spinning at 10,000 revolutions per minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 300 as fast as a regular LP on an album spins. It's accessed by a read-write head floating at a hair's length above that thing. And that thing is flying back and forth at like mm-hmm. 60 miles an hour. That thing is crossing across that drive. So you got the 10,000.
These are the noises you hear when you're
going. So the head's moving back and forth about 60 miles an hour. The drive is spinning at like 10,000 revolutions per minute. It's going to fail.
And if you pick it up while it's running,
you're jostling it.
What happened.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
If the head touches the surface,
yep.
That's what the people call head crash.
Yes. And if the head falls onto the platter.
Head banging?
That's Metallica. But
wait, if you hear the drive while it's head banging?
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's bad.
So there's a lot of people who don't understand what a hard drive is.
The click of death, right?
Yeah. What a hard drive is and how they work is you have these platters and that head is just...
Back it up.
Barely not
back it up. Even if you have a 10 meg drive, back it up.
Once it crashes, it crashes.
And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Out of control. Welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Our number is again 860-0850, *850, and #50 on your cell phone. Stan, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Hi, this is Stan. Having a little problem this morning. I just tuned in before you guys went to break. I hope I'm not having the dreaded hard drive failure you were mentioning. The situation on my system now is turn it on. It comes up with a screen that gives you the options of starting in safe mode or safe mode with networking, safe mode. Mm-hmm. Or with the last known good configuration. I have tried all of those, and when I go into safe mode, the black screen comes up. It fills up with lines.
That's fine.
That start with multi.
Yeah, that's normal.
Those are good.
Okay, so that screen fills up. It stays there for a moment, and then all of a sudden I hear a click like my monitor is shutting off. And it recycles, and it goes, no matter what I do from that screen, it ends up recycling. And I've tried the safe mode with networking.
No, if it doesn't do it in safe mode, then you have a problem.
Okay.
It may be a virus, and it may be hardware.
Okay.
This is just when you turn the machine on. If you let it run clean, no, don't go into safe mode or anything else. It'll just, if you're on normal, it'll just keep recycling over and over again.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's, if you don't do anything, it starts a little countdown. It says, and it's going to start Windows normally.
Mm-hmm.
When it does that, actually, it goes like it's going to start XP, and then all of a sudden, that goes away. I get a brief blue screen, and it's on the screen such a short period of time. I have no idea what it says, and then it goes black, and it starts the whole recycle thing.
It may also be memory.
I was going to say, have you added memory to the machine lately?
No.
What type of machine is it?
It's an IBM.
Did you ever reseat the memory cards and stuff like that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Never been inside the system.
Do you feel comfortable going inside the system?
Sure.
This is a desktop, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Just unplug the memory and plug it back in. Unplug all the cards and plug them back in. Unplug the connectors from the drive and from anything that has a mechanical connection. Take it off, put it back on.
All right.
That may be it. I mean, I've seen video memory do that. But short of that, you're going to have to take it by somebody who can actually sit in front of it and try different things.
Right.
You're going to need to. One suggestion is to, if you have an extra hard drive.
I don't.
What if you want to take advantage of this and upgrade and go buy a newer one? And try loading an OS from scratch with that new hard drive, just to eliminate hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, that way you'll know you get a good OS loading, and then you can try to go back and you need to recover what's on this hard drive.
I'd love to if
yeah,
I can.
That's where you can make that the slave.
Yeah.
And install the new OS on the new hard drive, and then get everything running, and then just go over to the other drive, which no longer is your boot drive, it's just the data drive,
right.
And pull your stuff over.
Right.
So you guarantee that you don't mess with this drive until you're sure you backed up and pulled the stuff you need off of it.
Yeah, yep. I was going to say, there's one other thing, you know, from the safe screen or whatever that you can do is hit enter, and it takes you into a setup screen. And from there's some options, and one was to revert back to the factory settings. And
no, you don't want
to
do
the words reformat your hard drive.
No. That's what I mean about don't take any drastic measures until you're sure you've got everything backed up.
Right.
There are some deals out there in local stores for hard drives in the less than $50 range.
Right.
So it might be worth it to go out and get a hard drive. Do you have an original OS disk for, what are you running, XP?
I'm running XP. Unfortunately, this is one of these ones where they don't send you the disk, so no, I don't have the disk.
Right.
Do you have the original restore, the original recovery CD that puts it back to factory settings?
I think I may, yeah.
And then use that?
That way you
restore the system back to the way it was.
Not on your current drive.
on the new drive.
Take the old drive out of the machine or unplug it and disconnect the cable so you make sure that you're protecting.
Right.
And then when you've got that all loaded, re-jumper that drive as the slave.
Right.
And then see what you find.
Is this the kind of thing your business, Amnon, does?
Yeah, but okay. This is something that you can do yourself.
Okay.
I mean, if you need help, you can call me during the week, 852-2121.
Okay.
But this is something that you can really do yourself. I mean, you sound like you are competent enough to do that.
He can dial a phone.
That's a big question mark.
All right.
Thanks for your time, guys.
Sure. Thanks for calling 850 The Buzz. Our numbers again, 860-0850, *850, and #850 on your cell phone. And again, we're talking with Grayson Randall, founder of and leader of the Insight Racing Team. How does your car, your whole thing work?
Our vehicle? The vehicle basically has two camera systems. We have one camera that looks ahead of the vehicle, And then we're currently working on a stereo camera system that allows us to get depth perception information from in front of the vehicle. We also have two SICK LIDARs, which are basically laser range finders.
I thought a LIDAR was like a lie detector.
Yeah. The car knows if you're lying to it or not. Yeah. How much is gas? $1.50 a gallon. You're lying!
Shoots the laser at you.
So, you're going to have one of those cool red LEDs that goes back and forth.
Knight Rider, that Kit used to have.
We have an LED panel. You can't have a truck without an LED panel. Cool. So
neon lights underneath?
No.
No neon.
Spinner wheel hubcaps?
Not yet. I need another.
All right, let's let the guy talk about his vehicle. Come on.
Well, are there any requirements for the power plant? Does it have to be gas, diesel, electric?
The DARPA requirement states that the vehicle must not damage the environment, which is basically you can't have a bulldozer and just plow your way through the 175.
That would be great. That would be effective. Look, a mountain. I can take care of that. What mountain?
It must stay on the ground, must be in contact with the ground. You can't have a hovercraft or any aerial-type vehicles. And
you can have a big spring so it can just boing and jump over stuff.
Acme.
And it has to be able to fit through a couple of choke points, and essentially they're bridges. You have to fit
a
through
toll
the bridge. Yeah, the toll booth. Has to pay the toll on the way. So those are the only really restrictions on the vehicle.
How about being armored? Does it have to have any survivability or
no? Just for the race, they're simply looking for the technology that will allow the vehicle to traverse this long course through the desert and find its way. And what I'd also like to say that this is autonomous and not to be confused with remote control, because once the vehicle leaves the starting line, it will traverse the 175 miles that we have never seen before, nor has the vehicle ever traversed. And as a team, we are not allowed to follow the vehicle or be in contact with the vehicle during the race. So essentially, we launch it from the start line, and we head for the finish line and wait for it to get there 10 hours later.
And hope. Oh, come on. That's not ours.
And then you'll see CNN. This remote vehicle is driving down the freeway in Los Angeles.
It looks like a tank.
We don't know where it came from.
We can't stop it.
And they get a little sidetracked. Yeah.
So, that was pretty good.
So essentially we have cameras, we have LIDARs, which actually scan the area in front of the vehicle and the road surface in front of the vehicle. All this information gets fed back to a rack of computers that sits in the back of the vehicle. We process all the input data at approximately 10 to 20 times a second and feed back into our control system, which actually does the physical control with the vehicle. It manipulates the gas pedal, the brake pedal, the steering wheel, and it allows the vehicle to be driven.
So this is technology that sort of like, you know, like there's some SUVs or cars today that, you know, that have sensors in the bumper or whatever if something behind
gets too close.
You.
Beep, yeah. Beep. Yeah.
So I mean, and what you're doing right now is probably whatever comes out of it, and I wish the best come out of it, but at the least there'll be technology that will be able to be used in everyday life.
Oh, I'm certainly sure that's true. The big difference between what you're mentioning is that the sensors today on the vehicles are all controlled by the human being. And that eliminates a huge liability problem for the developing companies. I think the technology will become available. The issue in the future is going to be the liability of putting on a public road with people in it a vehicle that is controlling itself. So it's a huge liability to the.
It is.
It worked fine for the Jetsons.
Yeah. I think in the next few years the technology will be used in the private sector and in the military sector, where the liability concerns aren't as big an issue. something like a big mine where they have the mine trucks driving back and forth up the road, you know, 24 hours a day. We can automate that and have the trucks run unattended.
All right, and your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, star 850 and pound 850 on your cell phone. Mimi. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
One is, how does the vehicle know where the course is? And the second question is, what's the background of the people who are on the team?
Go ahead.
The vehicle uses the GPS to locate itself in the course. Okay. The course is given to us by DARPA 2 hours before the start of the race. So we don't actually know until we load the information into the vehicle where it's going to go.
So you load all the GPS coordinates of the, the track into the okay.
Basically, DARPA gives us a CD that has a series of GPS waypoints.
Mm-hmm.
And between each waypoint, there is an associated width and speed. So each of these segments have basically an area that you're allowed to operate in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're able to use the GPS to locate the vehicle within this operating area that's defined by DARPA and allows us to follow the course that way.
And again, and the background of the people, she wanted to know.
The background of the people. The core team I put together is actually four students that were in a high school robotics program that I mentor at Southeast Raleigh High School, the RoboDogs, who actually won the international competition in 2004.
Whoa! So,
so it's very exciting to have international winning team here in Raleigh.
Absolutely.
Well, it turns out that many of the students that were involved in that program have moved on to different schools, and I had the opportunity to pick up four of my star pupils out of NC State that had gone to school locally, and I gathered up those four students, and we put together the core team. After that, we added Walt Sliva, who's my business manager, helps keep me out of trouble and keep us going in the right track. Brian Dean, who owns a company locally called BD Micro, does the control system. He actually sells controllers for robotics and has done some custom boards and custom software to help our control system and give us the ability to physically interface with the vehicle and to control it. Steve Kikas, another software person that we've added to the team, one of the founders of Tangram, one of the dot-com companies locally, is working with us. We also have,
all these people are volunteers or?
Yes, everybody's volunteer. We're all working together as a team. And
so you have real jobs,
yes,
and you do this?
Yes.
Wow.
We're all either students or have real jobs, and we're working on this in the evenings and the weekends. And
I'll volunteer to supervise.
Yeah.
As long as I get
it's a lot of hard work.
I don't know about that. But
you can sweep.
I could do that. I could supervise, and as that $2 million comes in, supervisory always, takes a cut. I'm over here being the I'll be the motivator. That's what I'll do.
Motivator.
Work.
So it turns out that 7 of the 9 of us are all either students or alumni of NC State. So we've worked very closely with NC State in doing projects and getting people involved with the Insight Racing team.
You're going to make it.
And when the $2 million
comes, you're going to make it.
When the $2 million comes in, they're all going to go, take that, Duke and Carolina. You can take that right there, man. It's your team, man. Take your basketball. We got robots, man. Next we have a robotic basketball team. We can take you, man.
That's the end of the first show. The first hour of the show. Sorry.
Talk much?
We'll be back after this break. 850 The Buzz. Good morning again, everybody. You are still tuned to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. I'm Amnon, your host for the next hour now, along with Jim Duffy.
Good morning, sir.
And Spence.
Good morning.
And Grayson Randall of Insight Racing is here with us.
Hello.
Our producer, screener, weather person this morning is John, and he's got some information for us.
Weather Report is brought to you by Ice Cold Corona and Corona Light, the perfect choice when you're looking for fun or just ready to relax. Pick up a Corona or Corona Light wherever you buy beer. Weather Report, today mostly cloudy this afternoon, then partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s. Tonight, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers in the evening, humid with lows in the mid-70s. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, hot, humid with highs in the mid-70s. 90s. Chance of rain 30%. Currently in Raleigh, 78 degrees and partly cloudy.
All right. Gun, you said somebody... this is a call-in show. People need to call in and ask the people in the studio, not the screener who's sitting there doing work. But somebody called you and asked what?
He wanted to know when the vehicle contest you guys were talking about, the contest at NC State, when it is.
It's not at NC State.
Okay. He also was wondering if there's a website that he could go to.
All right.
The contest is actually held in California. DARPA bills it as Los Angeles to Las Vegas. The reality is it starts in Barstow, California, which is about an hour and a half northeast of L.A., and is 175 miles into Nevada.
Do they give him any free tokens?
Now, is this all military land that this is going to be run on?
Well, it's actually part of the Mojave Desert. Uh-huh. There is quite a bit of military land there, but DARPA goes and gets the required permits and stuff to operate the race and along the edge of the Mojave Desert and up into the mountains into Nevada.
That's why they don't want to disturb the earth.
I understand. Now, do you get any...
And the website, again, we need to mention it again is...
The website is www.insightracing.org. That's I-N-S-S-I-G-H-T racing.org.
Insightracing.org.
Now, is the terrain all paved road terrain?
No, approximately 10% of the race will be on paved roads. The rest of it will be off-road desert conditions through mountain passes where you've only got like a one-lane road and then across the dry lake bed. And so.
Okay, we need to get Mark. I didn't realize that he was waiting.
Gotcha.
Mark!
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Sorry, we bit into your time.
Hey, it was good stuff. Not a problem. This week, some interesting stories dealing with security. Healthcare advocate firm sues an Internet Archive. Now, Internet Archive are one of these, in this scenario, are one of these sites that archives all the websites. So if you want to know what you had, what your site looked like last year, you could go here, and it's a nonprofit company, and see what the site looked like. For me, and with what I'm doing with, let's say, a copyright infringement lawsuit,
right,
it's great because it shows evidence that prior to the complaint, you infringed my client's work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this situation, this Philadelphia healthcare firm filed a lawsuit against Wayback Machine and dealing with the Internet Archiving. Now, they offer, in addition to going back and archiving your website, as a website owner, you could make that your website password protected, meaning that only those who had your password could then see what your site looked like a year ago. And that's exactly what this company did. However, after setting up the password protect, Wayback Machine's security failed, and its competitor then was able to go back and steal some speculative hot information from this healthcare archive company. So they're trying to push liability now on this Wayback Machine archive company because their security system failed to prevent their competitor from going back, seeing what their site looked like, more importantly, the content they're in, and use it to their disadvantage. Now, how difficult the technology side of things is it to present, you know, to, just to hack in something like that? I'm asking you guys since I have three experts over here.
You know, there's always people that can. I have no idea. I never broke into anything, so I have no idea how hard it is.
What about you, Jim?
My prior record, no. I'm with him. I mean, the whole black hat, white hat, hatting security
right.
World out there is new to me. You read about it and go, wow, that's pretty cool how they hack into that stuff. But I know there's automated tools and stuff like that that can just bang away on a website and just hack into the security over and over and over and over again. But the actual software that does that, I really don't know. Spencer would know that because since he's on probation. No.
Oh, sorry. I can't come within 10 feet of that. Sorry.
That's exactly what happened here because the defense is claiming that they just tried so many times and finally one time it worked.
It was an automated attack, I can almost guarantee you.
Yeah, most of those things are automated.
What was that about if you put 100 chimpanzees in a room with 100 typewriters, that eventually they'll produce the great American novel, right? Well, this might have been the same situation.
A thousand
chimpanzees with 1,000 computers all banging away on the keyboards.
Maybe orangutans. Maybe a long
that could
arms.
Be, yeah.
But no, I have no idea exactly how they do it. I'm sure they're.
Sorry, we can't help you. Sorry, Mark, we can't help you.
Rephrase the question. If you were to create a security system for your client who operates on a website that wants to offer a protected password section,
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure it's relatively pain-free of breaches,
mm-hmm.
what would you do?
I will not save anything there. I mean, the only thing is you can encrypt it, and
I would create a VPN.
But he also said to make it pain free.
VPNs are relatively painful. There's SSL VPNs that do not have any.
But you have to have the user
do something.
User has to have some level of buy-in to this.
No, he wants a secure website.
Which right.
www.
Well, then you can create a secure website by not giving anybody access to it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all there is. I mean, you're always going to be exposed. But in this case, you think about it. How can I be responsible for somebody's encryption technique or technology from 15, 10, 12 years ago, right? Or however many years ago it is. The fact that new tools have come out, the fact that you're mirroring or copying something that was public information, that's not my problem.
That's going to be a tough situation, and it's a nonprofit organization, so they're not charging anyone a fee.
Yeah, well, I don't mean public. I mean it was available. Had you had the wherewithal to get into it?
He's talking about this particular case.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it was what your site looked like last year was just free to anyone, presuming that you didn't have any password-protected sections. And in this factual situation, that was not alleged. Now I'll throw in this other situation. Now a judge dismisses a Navy SEAL suit versus the AP. Now in this case, they dismissed it against Associated Press and the reporters, and the complaint alleged that they violated privacy and copyright laws by publishing photos of the Navy SEALs posing with Iraqi prisoners. This is important because they're claiming in this situation that the only one who authorized this was the serviceman. The serviceman took the photographs and never authorized one of the wife SEAL to post these on the internet, and the wife still believed that she was in an internet password protected section. So only those she gave her username and password to were to could actually see these private, in her opinion, photographs. But they were the lawsuit was dismissed, but the judge hinted that she could refile if more properly pled copyright allegations were made. And this was dealing with a commercial site. And there's a little bit of a distinction between this case and that case, because now this is for profit, and you're offering these password-protected sections, and it failed.
Yeah, there is going to be no password protection system that's not going to be vulnerable to failing.
Right.
Because there's human people, human involved. And you say, oh, here's the user ID and password. Go ahead and go into my private area, and you can view these pictures. A right-click, save as, and now that picture is on your machine, and you can post that picture anywhere you want to. Well, that was only supposed to be under my private section. Well, I mean, those images, once you put a picture up on the Internet, you might as well just figure either that, whether you're in a protected section or not.
Well, a lot of people put a watermark on it, and that's...
True, but once you post a picture on the web, secure in a secure private area or not, once that picture's up on the web, it's all over the place.
Well, then now I'm going to talk to all those who are providing these sorts of services. You need to make sure you're entering into an enforceable online contract. You really need to talk to an attorney, because there you can make sure you're limiting your liability. What's reasonable probably is two or three times your amount that you paid to the company, because you're going to address that there are risk of break-ins. They're occurring all the time, and your only recourse is to stop using the site. Things like that are generally what I like to include to help protect the client who are hosting these things, because we're still in a wild, wild west, and these things are happening all the time. Federal Trade Commission has filed a lawsuit against Intelligent E-Commerce for selling online personal information, including cell phone records. That's a bit alarming. Now, they're saying that the only reason they could get these cell phone records from people is to do it by a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
So they're asking that the company halt its advertising for the sale of this protected personal information, comply with the laws, and destroy all records with third parties who have illegally obtained this. So that's pretty scary that all your cell phone records are available out there.
Yeah, then sure, somebody will always do something like that. All right.
I was going to say before that you said you need to get a good lawyer. I don't know any good lawyers, do you?
Isn't that, oops, isn't that an oxymoron? Good lawyer.
All right, Mark.
All right, gentlemen.
You have a newsletter.
I do have a newsletter. Please come to ishmanlaw.com and shoot us a request, and we will send you a once-a-month newsletter and all these great things, so we don't bombard your inbox, and it's a once-a-month thing, and all the info you need to know as you have a presence on the Internet.
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
Look forward to next week.
Same here.
All right, bye-bye.
And that was Mark Ishman of IshmanLaw.com. And your calls are coming up next right here on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850, The Buzz. Our number is 860-0850, *850, and #50 on your cell phone. You have a presentation this week?
Yes. I will be talking at the IEEE Embedded Systems Group meeting in RTP on Wednesday.
Now that's a party crowd right there, yeah. The IEEE. Woo! Engineers, man.
So if anyone wants to see the presentation, I have a lot of video of the truck and go into a lot more detail on what we've done and a lot of pictures and stuff. You can go to the website, www.iee-embedded.org.
You don't have information on your
website?
Linking over
to there?
We'll put it on there.
Yeah, you should.
Yep. Yeah, we'll link it over.
What was your site again?
www.insightracing.org.
Oh, you mean the site I'm on right now?
Oh, you got that?
Yeah, I finally got my internet connection back up. I'm interested.
You're rebooted.
Yeah, I'd be rooted. I'm interested to know about the hardware, like what kind of computing systems you have on board, what operating systems are you running, what software languages are you using to make this thing all happen, all the techno stuff on the truck.
Okay.
How many computers are on?
Yeah, exactly.
On board?
We have basically
roughly
four okay server type computers, and then we have a small 8-bit microprocessor that's done for the actual control system. the BV Micro board.
What OS are those servers running?
We're running all Linux. Mm-hmm. We're a Linux-based. All the code is custom code written in C.
Real language.
Real language.
Getting down, that's with the bits, the C, the C geeks.
Well, the processing is timing is critical on this.
So, oh, yeah, real-time system.
To be processing video at 20 times a second is quite a challenge. I had a talk with one of the university people who had this wonderful algorithm for processing wild pictures out of the wild and looking for objects that isn't in a controlled environment. And it was taking 5 to 10 minutes a frame.
That's not good.
And that's pretty hard at 40 miles an hour. So so we have...
Can't afford to reboot the truck every so many.
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, to reboot the truck. Hold on. The truck's rebooting. Hold on.
Yeah. Windows.
Yeah. Now, that's actually a good question, because you hear Linux and C, like the other teams, do you know what the other teams are doing and what is the... standard, yeah, everyone's running Linux, or yeah, everyone's running, there's some teams running Microsoft stuff, there's some people running Linux. Do you know what the other teams are doing?
From what I can gather, there's quite a selection between the teams. There are Windows-based teams, there are Linux-based teams, there are...
Macs.
I saw one, all it had was a little Palm Pilot sitting on the dashboard. It was great. Worked great. Had a built-in camera.
It was controlling the driver.
It was just a cell phone. Yeah. That's all that was there.
Some of the teams are using embedded Linux and, low-level embedded chassis.
So. Cool. Four servers. You got a processing controller-based machine all running C. Yeah, you got it right down to the wire, man.
Yes.
That's cool.
So how do you fund it, really? I mean,
To date, the funding's been done through the team. The team just, we chip in and buy the equipment that we need. We've had several local sponsors that have stepped up with parts and equipment. PC Medevac has offered, given us some computing power, and some of the local garages, Council and Sun, has given us batteries and stuff. We've also gotten some contributions from some of our sensors. Some of our sensors run $7,000 to $10,000 a piece for one of these sensors. So. The sensor companies, Crossbow and Sick LiDARS, has been very good about helping us with our...
They have a reason for doing it.
Yeah, obviously. Now, with the onboard video and stuff like that, while the truck is out there running, are you getting any type of video feedback from the truck and knowing where it's, and see what it's doing? Or are you just like, okay, it's gone, hope it comes back in 3 hours? I mean, you know...
With respect to the truck driving itself? Or?
Yeah, with respect to the feedback you're getting, do you have a video screen that you can watch and see what it's seeing while it's driving?
We're not allowed to get any transmissions from the vehicle or to interact with the vehicle during the race. So we will be recording it.
It's by itself.
Right.
Does your wife have a video to see where you're going?
As a matter of fact, no.
Well.
But just having a feed of a thing with the truck is...
No, we're not allowed to have any...
I guess it opens the door for cheating.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're not allowed. We will record the course.
The data.
And we can correlate that back to the data that we log during the race so that we can evaluate after the race, anything that we need to work on or change.
You could use that Google Earth thing that Spencer was showing me. What? It actually out of track.
Yeah, if anybody hasn't seen this site.
Google Earth?
It's earth.google.com. Google purchased a company called Keyhole, which is a satellite imaging company, and they offer a free version of their software. It's got a lot of features in it. It doesn't have... You can buy upgrades to it, but there is a free version. Go to Google... earth.google.com and try out the... Not just... They have a web page, like you were showing me before, where you can, an internet site where you can go and see the maps, but this is an actual application.
Right, you download the program.
You can do directions, and you can actually have it fly the route that you lay out in the directions. It's very... It's just fun to play with.
And that was cool. I mean, Spencer showed me a fly from, like, you know, from RDU down to downtown Raleigh, and you can just see as you're flying, like, okay, I'm going to turn here. Very slick. Very slick.
And if you're wondering why Spence is not talking more, it's because,
he's trying to figure out how to get somewhere.
Oh, look at this feature. This is great. Grayson, what has been your biggest challenge?
get in the truck to start.
Come on, you Peter.
Well, from a team perspective, I think it's probably been funding. It's been very difficult to find team our sponsors that place us as credible contestants. We continue to work our way up, and we're now semifinalists in the race, which will be October 8th of this year. We've gotten more people interested, and we're starting to get talks, but it's been difficult. From a technical perspective, it's like there's an infinite number of problems to be resolved. Every one we solve, there's 10 more behind it, and it's been a slow and steady. You know, we solve the immediate problems in front of us, we reevaluate where we're at, and we solve the next set of problems. So there's just things that you wouldn't even think of, like grass growing up in front of the truck. A lot of the sensors see the grass, but they don't know whether it's a post or a rock or grass, whether we can drive through it. So we get all kinds of false positives when we're driving as to what's in front of us and where we have to go.
You mentioned being a semifinalist, and it just got me thinking, A, as a semifinalist, how many semifinalists are there left? B, what if your truck is going along on the route and breaks down? I mean, with this race, is it like 10 trucks are lined up, 10 vehicles are lined up? Okay, everybody, go! Or is it every hour they send another one out? I mean, how's that work?
Okay, well, let me start with the selection process. Mm-hmm. We started out this year with 200 teams that applied to participate. And through the application process, 118 teams were selected for site visits, and where the DARPA actually came here to Raleigh. We actually demonstrated the truck and ran a predefined course that they had set up, which included barrels that we didn't know where they would be. And they actually put them on the course, and we had to maneuver the course. Out of the 118 teams, 40 teams were selected for the semifinals.
Cool. So you're one of 40.
And the 40 teams will go to California, where we go through a week and a half qualification and compete for 20 slots the day of the race. There'll be 20 vehicles that will leave the starting line on the day of the race. And once the vehicles leave the starting line, they are followed by a DARPA chase vehicle and DARPA helicopters. They have helicopters in the air as well. And DARPA has a remote emergency switch that they can control each of the vehicles. So as the vehicles are traversing, if the vehicle goes out of bounds mm-hmm. or does anything dangerous, they will disable the vehicle. Once the vehicle is disabled, you're out of the race.
Took care of that.
Wow. You can set yours up so if they disable it, it puts it into attack mode.
Yeah.
And you launch the hidden missiles that are underneath the floorboard.
So getting the truck out to California is pretty easy. The team flies out there, and you just set the remote truck to say, meet us out there in 3 or 4 days. And the truck will drive itself out. Now, that would be, oh, our truck will show up in 2 or 3 days. Really, where is it? Yep, here it comes, pulling off the highway by itself.
The hard part, win! The hardest part of that was getting the truck to buy gas with a credit card.
This, you know, and the little arm has to come out.
So the DARPA can actually control the outcome. I mean, I don't think they have an interest, but
they have judges, and they have the ability to stop any vehicle along the course that doesn't comply with the rules.
Oh, that truck is just ugly. It has to go.
Yeah.
Put camouflage on it.
Why did you choose a Suburban, by the way?
We wanted the space to be able to put the computer rack in the back. We also, during development, actually ride in the vehicle. We have a shelf set up in the back, and we set our laptops up, and we monitor all the computer systems.
So you sit in the truck while the truck is driving itself. You trust it?
Yes.
Good for
yes,
you.
Do.
Is it a four-wheel drive?
Yes, it is.
Is it necessary to be four-wheel drive? Or
we believe that it will be necessary to complete the course to have four-wheel drive, yes.
Central inflation, you can deflate and inflate?
We're not quite that at that level yet.
I have a 911 out there. We may not make it through the course, but if we do, we'll be the fastest.
Bill, good morning.
Good morning. I've got a question. I was wondering if y'all could just tell me directly or tell me where to go to find the answer. I'm looking for an MP3 player I want it to be a flash one. I want it to be have 2 gigs of memory, and I want it to have LCD screen. And if y'all don't know one, where would I go find something with that specifications?
2 gig.
You can get our SD cards up to 2 gig yet?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I mean, they make some 2 gig MP3
but they're,
players.
They're, I'm not sure if they're flash or not, though.
I think they are.
I'm sure someone will chime in with a phone call and say, oh, you need to go to this site.
Yeah, you need to get an iRiver or something like that. I don't know. You know, I'm just trying to find out which one to get.
And when you find out?
Let you know.
That's right, because I'm looking for an MP3 player.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot.
All right, Bill.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you. Bye. And let's see. Steve, good morning.
Hey. Yeah, it was a very interesting topic you have with your speaker there today. And,
we know.
We don't care about you people. It's interesting to us. That's all that matters.
Yeah, well,
go ahead, Steve.
It's interesting to us, too. You know, out here in listener land. Us, you know, we may be in Mongolia, but we're still listening. So I was wondering about using other kinds of sensors besides just vision. You know, maybe if you used, you know, like those sonar systems. From Polaroid, you might be able to distinguish, you know, when it's just a little sprig of grass growing up or something, and just say, you know, F it, drive on.
The issue with sonar is that there's a lot of ways for it to get distorted. It's very difficult to point it in the open environment. A lot of the sensors that different people use, particularly manufacturing applications, are very well controlled, and it is very easy to establish what the environment is that it's working in. We're actually going to be traveling over 175 miles that we've never seen before. We know it's desert-like terrain, but we're not familiar with the exact areas. And,
yeah, they keep the specific secret, so you know it keeps the contest the way they want it to be.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, on the sponsor side of it, I have an idea. And this may sound, you know, like I'm being flippant, but I'm really not. You should get sponsorship from, like, beer and alcohol companies.
Yeah. Yeah, our truck runs on methanol and other alcohol.
No.
So that when you get plastered, it can drive you home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like in the old days of horses. You know, the horse knew its way home. It didn't matter if you were drunk.
Yeah,
like
you get in, you say, take me home.
Now I just need to go out and get a horse.
good point, Steve. Yeah. Good point.
Very interesting.
Okay, well, that's my bit.
All right, man.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Yeah, it's you know, there's nothing wrong. I mean, the money's just as green.
That's right.
In terms of other, like, sensors and stuff like that, you have, like, an olfactory sensor on there, and it would know if it's going through, like a cow pasture. Woo! Turn. We're in the wrong spot.
We're actually developing a special bumper for the front that's a touch bumper. And when we detect things that we can't determine, we actually pull up and actually test it and see if we can proceed through it or whether we have to back up and turn around. So.
Oh, that's cool. Give it a tap. Do a Richard Petty type thing. Yep. Just tap it and say, hey, we're here.
And we'll be right back. Welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. If we can tear Spence away from his laptop, we may be
what?
Able to...
What?
Huh? What?
Oh,
there
I was out. I was out researching Flash MP3 players. There are a few 2-gig ones out there, although Parham suggested Sony, but the only one I could find, or several that they have that are Flash, are only 1 gig. So, but they had a little note next to the 1 gig. But apparently, it'll grow to 2 gig, but we don't know when.
But we don't know anything about them that we could recommend.
No, we can't.
Another.
No, we can't. Unless, yeah. Jim and I, we could set up. If somebody wants to fund it, we'll set up a lab where we'll test all these devices.
I like the sound of that.
Get us all of the current players,
and we'll test.
And we'll just test them.
Yeah, we could do laptops
you have
too.
The,
local stuff.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Okay. So at Best Buy, we've got a Targus Universal Notebook power supply adapter that works. That's AC and DC. $39, regular $79. This is an interesting product here. We actually did install one of these. Gyration cordless optical air mouse and keyboard. Now, the air mouse is one that will work on the table optically, but it also, if you hold it up and you pull the trigger underneath, it's gyroscopic. So it moves. It's got a motion sensor in it, and will actually move with your motion on the screen, up, down, side to side. Very interesting. And the keyboard, too, is an extended-range wireless keyboard.
Move the keyboard
yeah,
up.
Yeah, move the keyboard up and down. That's right, turn it on its side. The picture moves with it, right?
Yeah.
Don't get into that. Come on. And mislead people here. $129. I don't know if it's on sale, but it's got a $20 gift certificate at Best Buy. Interesting product. 17-inch MAG LCD for $179, regularly $249. Wow. An APC backup UPS 500 VA for $39, regularly $59. Good idea now with thunderstorms around. This is another new interesting device, the Mira 160-gig personal server. This is something you put on your network, and it says it automatically back up all of your PCs on the network. Now, how robust that is, automatically and real-time, it says it will do that. $349, regularly $399. It might be something, if you've got a small business, it might be something worth looking into. 120 gig hard drive for $39, regularly $99. 16X dual format, dual-layer DVD burner for $59 internal. And Sony 50-pack of DVD plus or minus Rs for $19, regularly $39. And that's all at Best Buy. At Office Max, they've got all of the Netgear wireless stuff on sale, the Range Max for $99. That's the MIMO, multiple in, multiple out, multiple antenna technology. Super G for $49. And the cards are either $79 or $39, depending on which technology you're using. They have a 19-inch LCD for $279, and since I switched to this 19-inch LCD that I'm using now, I go to my laptop, back to my laptop screen after having Outlook open. It's like, what's wrong with this screen? It looks terrible. But it's a nice screen. Office 2003 Student and Teacher Edition, $119. So if you have a student or you are a teacher, you qualify for this special version of Office 2003. It's regularly $139. You can get it for $119. 100 sleeve of CDRs for $18.99, no rebate, that's a sale. 512 flash memory for $29. Good for school. School's coming, and there'll be a lot of sales as back to school kicks in. Memorex DVD plus or minus 16X drive, $59. And plus or minus R discs, 50-pack for $17.99. That's at Office Max. At Circuit City, 25-pack of DVD, 8X, $698. This is a Next Tech brand. I don't know. I can't say much about the brand. But the for that price, $698 for a sleeve of 25, try them out. See if they work for what your application is. Belkin and D-Link, Wi-Fi all on sale. D-Link, $19 for G. Belkin, $29 for G. Super G is $49. 50-pack of CDR, $698. This is that Next Tech brand again. A Western Digital 80-gig external drive for $49 for backup. A great deal. And 160-gig internal drive for $49. That's all at Circuit City. And finally, a CompUSA, a 200-gig Max Store drive for $79. A 300-gig Max Store drive, $139, internal. They've got some interesting system deals. They're starting to do the back-to-school stuff. Take a look at the fine print, but some of these deals are actually pretty good for back-to-school computers. Beware of the AOL computers because you need to sign up for a year worth of AOL at $23.90 a month to qualify for these. Will you be better off just getting a PC without
Absolutely.
And they also have on sale Zyzel, which is a manufacturer of a lot of these other brands of routers that you see, AP routers, access point routers. They have their Super G router for $29 and a PCI and PC cards for $29 and a G router for $4.99. And that's at CompUSA.
Right, how much is a, because it's relative today to what I'm doing. An internal 160-gig drive. How much did you say one of those were, Spence? Ballpark? Some internal
160 gig internal was $49.
So for $50, you get 160 gig internal. Throw an enclosure around it, which is one of those $20 enclosures or something like that.
And you're done.
And for like less than $75, you now have an external drive, 160 gigs, which is huge, for $75.
Absolutely.
Instead of buying one of those other external, because you can get an external USB yourself, and they're going to cost you more.
If you want it under warranty, you've got to buy it as a unit. And I had to send one back. So that's one thing to consider. You could send a drive back. I had an external USB drive that started to click.
Uh-huh.
It still worked, but the noise was not comforting.
Right.
So I sent it back. They sent me another one. No questions asked.
Because they don't know if it came out of the USB enclosure or if it came out of your machine.
Mike points out something about the 2003 student office version.
Mm-hmm.
That it's three users for this package, and only one of them actually has to be a student or a teacher to qualify for the license.
You can go to Tiger Direct and buy it anyway. Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So it's a good deal.
Thanks. Grayson, how are you going to transport the car?
That's a good question. We're still working on that.
Drive itself. I mean, come on.
Go ahead.
We'll probably place it on a regular auto transporter and just ship the vehicle out.
Tow it out there,
yep. Once we get out there, we'll retrieve it.
Does it still have the ability to be driven by itself by a human, or does it have to be automated?
That's the next question. How do you drive it when it's not in autonomous?
Well, there's a couple of answers to this. While we're testing, we normally follow it in a chase vehicle, and we have the capability. We have a small radio transmitter box and a Nintendo controller. And we can actually drive the vehicle using remote control, which gets us, around, gets to place the vehicle and move the vehicle.
Jim, remember that remote hunting thing that they had?
Yes, across the
now
web.
They have remote driving the car. That's how you can make some money off of it.
Yeah.
Drive it around the field.
That's right.
Yes. We do have the capability to remove it and actually drive it using the manual pedals and steering wheel, just like a normal vehicle. It takes us about 5 minutes to cut it over to manual.
It wasn't me speeding, officer. It was the car by itself. It wasn't me. I swear it wasn't me.
It was the remote driver.
That's right.
Can you drive it on the road? I mean, is it strictly licensed?
No, our vehicle at this point is we haven't maintained the requirements for legal operation.
I don't think it has headlights anymore.
Insurance?
Yeah.
Inspection?
Uninsured motorist.
Yeah.
You think uninsured motorist is driving itself?
It's a non-existent motorist.
That's
is what
right.
It is.
Now the whole, you were talking about being able to control the gas pedal and, I mean, it sounds to me like it's going to crawl the whole race, will it not? I mean, how fast are you going to go during the race at the most?
Well, it's a 175-mile race in 10 hours, so you have to average at least 17 if you expect to win. We expect there will be areas where we'll drive slow, but on a normal dirt road environment, we should be able to go 30 to 35.
That's not bad at all.
And if you get a flat?
We're done.
Yep.
Oh, that could be so totally arbitrary. You have a tire goes bad.
You keep bringing those points up.
Because these things we have to think about.
And if you don't get a flat?
You got to get those run flat tires. Yeah. You got to get some of those run flat tires. That'll run no matter what.
How long are you going to be in California?
About 2.5 weeks. There's the qualification event, which is September 27th through October 6th, I believe. And then on the 6th, they'll announce the 20 finalists, and the race will actually be on October 8th.
And then they'll announce that the Raleigh team won the $2 million. Mm-hmm. You watch.
And then we'll collect our
team. You watch me.
And the real jobs are being supportive of all this, we would hope. I mean, your real job?
Oh,
I mean, it's supportive.
Yes.
I can be gone for 2 weeks.
Actually, our companies have been very supportive. Everybody's very excited that we're doing this and has been working with us. So
They all want a piece of the $2 million.
Yes.
There's a question. What happens when you win the $2 million? Where does that go?
Grayson, how much time was spent developing the vehicle so far?
We've been working on the vehicle about 2 years now. And we work, most of us average probably 20 hours a week on top of our regular jobs. We normally spend at least one day on the weekend with the vehicle testing, and then we meet during the week, and everybody's working on their individual components. The entire team brings a set of skills to the team that's very specialized, and everybody has their part to make this happen. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, and we'll come back right after this break. And welcome back to Computers 2K5 on Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. We were talking, we spent this morning talking with Grayson Randall of Insight Racing about their autonomous car. Driverless, not remote controlled, but actual thinking car, thinking machine. That is going to be going to take place in the competition in California this
September, and the actual race is in October 8th.
You're still looking for sponsors?
Yes, we'll always accept sponsors.
And you want them to go to www.insightracing.org. To find all the details. Is there anything else that I did not mention that you want to talk about? We have a few minutes left.
No, I don't think so. I just want to thank NC State. NC State's been really great to work with, and we've sponsored 8 senior design classes with NC State where rising seniors have the opportunity to work on real-life projects. And we put them to work on some real serious real-life projects. So it's been really fun working with the students and the NC State. The sponsors we have on board have been very good to us, and we hope we can...
Is it a long list?
No, it's not.
You want to mention them?
Sure. Ascot Technologies, BD Micro, Comtrol, Council & Sons, Crossbow, Gemini Auto Services, PC Medevac, SIC, and France Automotive. And everybody's been very generous to help us get to where we're at today.
Good. And I know you're going to win. You're going to win.
I think we have a good chance. There's like an infinite number of things that can go wrong. So all the teams, it's going to be a very competitive race this year. DARPA has gone out and hand-selected the teams that are going to participate. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch the race and to compete in the race. And the 20 that are selected for the official race on the 8th will all be very qualified to win, but they're... The number of potential obstacles or situations that come up in a 175-mile race is just...
It's unknown.
Very statistically huge problem to solve.
You know they're going to throw a huge roadblock out there, too. There's going to be a cement wall in the middle of the road somewhere.
Are there any printers on the car?
Yes. All of our sponsors get space on the vehicle. We get as well as our website.
No. I'm talking about printers. Inkjet printers.
Printers? On the vehicle?
On board?
No, we don't have any printers.
Okay. I was just going to say that if you need any cartridges refilled, I know somebody who can do it for you.
Help me out.
Oh, my goodness.
Every little bit helps.
A hidden blatant plug never hurts.
Every little bit helps.
I understand.
And, yeah, I'm going to go over after the show to Nabil's over at the fairgrounds at the flea market where they refill cartridges and spend a few hours with him there.
And I'd like to mention that Param has put up some information about MP3 players on the general tab on the forums.
and you had something that you need to...
We're still looking for it. We're working with, or I should say, have been made aware of Adopt a Soldier, which is available from a website called OperationAC.com. But the Adopt a Soldier program, check it out if you'd like to adopt a guy, send him some stuff that he needs. But we're looking for older, inexpensive, still usable laptops.
One that will support a wireless card.
Right, one that supports a PCMCIA card that we can send over to guys to use in the barracks. They do have wireless connectivity, but they have to have a PC, and it can be shared among several guys. But the problem is the web cafes they go to are hours and hours and hours to wait to get to use a PC.
They need laptops.
They need laptops. So,
and we have an email
address. Email address is laptop at 850thebuzz.com. Send us an email. If you did send us an email this past week, something might have happened. So we would send it to a laptop at 850thebuzz.com.
Anybody you want to say good morning to?
Good morning, Christine. Good morning, Gretel.
Anybody listening that you